Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. It's Thursday, October 15, 2020, and we welcome you to our wellness show this morning. Welcome on in. Those that are in our blog radio, welcome from whatever part of the world you're tuning in, and those that are live in our first hour of our Facebook Live. Today's topic, believe it or not, it's going to be an interesting one. Hopefully there'll be several parts to it, but the topic's going to be called, or is called, is What Women Want. And we're going to start with a quote. And you want to give us the quote, she's coming, guys.
I'm the cameraman and all that stuff here. Our starting out is, never waste a second of your life complaining. Complaining doesn't solve problems, it attracts them. The more you complain, the more problems you'll have, and the more you infect other people with your problems. So don't be an infection, be a cure. And that was Isaiah Hankel. I like that one because it focused on the fact that we will complain, but that if we don't need, it doesn't need to be a part of our repertoire, you know, everything that we do all the time. And as women, we're kind of known for being a bit whiny and complaining about a lot of things, but also it's because we feel a lot. You know, we are intuitive, we're empath, more so than our counterpart, and so that's probably why we do that.
Well, one thing that I found really interesting, especially right here at the beginning, don't be an infection.
Yeah.
You know, and isn't it true?
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Don't be the COVID in your own life.
There you go. You're around people that are always complaining, mm-hmm, and you really don't want to be around them.
Nah.
Because there's nothing positive comes out, you know, everything is like, you're trying to fix them, you know, instead of like...
It's like trying to take a bath in dirty water. Like, it just doesn't work.
No.
You end up coming out dirty, you know.
Let me give you the scripture. This is Paul talking to the Corinthian church, and it's coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. It says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not of your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So there you go. Your body, your spirit, it all belongs to God. And we're here to, like I always say, glorify God and enjoy him forever. So,
it just reminded me, that verse is when I became a Christian, I used to smoke a pack a day back in the day, you know? And I was, of course, very rebellious. You know, I was 21 years old. You know, I did whatever I wanted, you know.
Like we all did.
We're by the grace of God.
God knows how to deal with each one of us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody ever, when I was started to go to church and reading the Bible, nobody ever told me, you need to quit smoking because it's bad for you, you know, or that's not what God wants, you know. Nobody told me that. But I would be here, and over there, somebody was quoting that verse. Don't you know you're the temple of the Holy Spirit, you know? And then days later, I would be here talking to you, and somebody was quoting that over there. So eventually, it dawned on me that God was talking to me, and he was telling me, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Don't destroy yourself. So it was just amazing, you know.
Yeah, it's the word of God is true, and every man a liar. It does not return void. So that was God speaking life through his word to you, and your spirit received it.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Yeah, I mean, and I like the fact that it happened that way.
Yeah.
Because God convicted your spirit in a way that was gentle enough. Because, again, as women, I'm already told what to do.
Exactly. And if somebody would have come and told me, you know, something about it,
you'd have smoked two packs.
Oh, I would have gone. Yeah, just to fight. Yeah. And God knew that.
He knows our heart.
Amen.
So as we go into this topic, let's say a quick prayer in, shall we?
Sure, I can do that.
Lord, just I ask today that as we sit here and talk as three friends, that what we say has an impact, a positive impact on those that are listening. Lord, I ask that you give them ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts that are open to understand, Lord, as we try to figure out this beautiful creation that are women, Lord. And we thank you for the ability to come together in this day and age. And Lord, I ask that as we sit here and we talk about these things that are very important, that we also be mindful of our day and our time, Lord. You know, it's early voting. I pray that people get out there and that they vote again for
America.
And and I also pray that you know, while the Senate hearings are going on, Lord, that you have your hand on each one of those senators that are there asking those questions to hopefully our new judge, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So, what do women want?
I gotta say something real quick. You know, the Word of God says that when God created woman, He said it was good. Not just good, He said it was very good.
Amen.
So just letting you know, we love women because we are women, but we know men love women too. So,
well, I mean,
I guess we're gonna talk about that too.
I guess. Yes, we will. Though there should be, but. What do women want? Do they want world domination, a storybook marriage, or work, or home life? What do women want? Well, let's look at what they complain about. Most women are good complainers, never something that we should win a medal for, and yet here we are. It is accepted by society, in fact, that if you are female, that you can and should complain about whatever your heart desires. And we're here to challenge that position.
Yes.
We're here to make you think. I mean, not only that's our goal is to make you think. So as we go on to that, here is our brand new, shiny medical disclosure.
There you go. Yay! I'm so happy about this. This is verified by.
We are not medical professionals, rather a small panel of women discussing issues we find beneficial that might also be important and interesting to you. This information is not designed to replace a physician's independent judgment about the appropriateness or risk of procedures for a given patient. Always consult your doctor about your medical conditions. Please do not make any changes until you speak with a medical professional.
Isn't that awesome? We don't have to say it anymore because it's said in the beginning.
Right.
We're so grateful for the verbiage.
So thanks for giving us that 30 seconds.
Great job.
So we're going to look at a couple of things here. I mean, there were a list of 23 that I found things that women complain about the most. And some of them are just downright stupid. But
it's true.
But I mean, it's very true. Yes. But today, we're going to focus on the two top ones that women complain about. And it's our bodies and our relationships, both related to one another. They're both related to one another, ironically, our relationship with our body and our relationships with other people. So the major complaint about our bodies is that they failed us in some way. You know, when I talk to other women, the first thing that they mention is, you know, today my body did this, and I just couldn't do this, and I couldn't do that. And it's like, look, if I gave you my list of things, you would be like, huh? So you got to kind of understand that, you know, having a skewed view of your body isn't desired at all. That's not what God wanted for us. It actually disables you in a lot of ways. Before you even walk out the door, you cut your foot off. You know, it's like, our perceptions are still very harsh to ourselves. And a good measure is to ask yourself, would I speak like this to my daughter? Would I speak like this to my mother, to my sister, or to my friend? If not, you're probably being too harsh with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If the very thought of the words that you say to yourself, the words leaving your mouth to be let out in the air, if that frightens you, you, my friend, need to evaluate what you're saying to yourself. After all, you are with yourself more than anybody else ever. It's time that we start remembering that we're emotional, spiritual, and complex beings that run on encouragement and can fail just as easily from discouragement or unnecessary discouragement. You know, last night, as a matter of fact, this was played out online, ironically enough. where in an attempt for this person to show that their point of view was right, they just dissed everybody else. And I thought, what a terrible place that we're in. And that kind of stuff stems from being harsh with ourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm going to be harsh with myself. So I do that all the time. So I'm going to be harsh with you. And it was in relation to pharmaceuticals and homeopathic medications. Well, you don't judge me for what I got to do, because, you know, look at you, how stupid you are with your data. That is counterintuitive. That's a circular argument that can never be won.
That's right.
Stop it. Stop doing that to each other.
No, I mean, it's just statistics, as we've said before on the show, 80% of self-talk is negative.
Very negative.
We've got to change that, ladies. We've got this. You know, one of the research studies right now that I found out is that men who are in a happy, healthy relationship make more money, have more intimacy, live longer, suffer less chronic illness, and show less cognitive impairment in later years. So, you know, you want to be a positive woman, because your mate
being negative can actually give you, memory issues, can actually give you Parkinson's things like that. That's crazy.
And I love that exercise that we do. I mean, we've done it at church and when we get together and stuff, you know, to look yourself in the mirror and remember, you are God's creation.
Right.
You are God's creation. And we all complain about our hair and our weight and our this or that or whatever. Mm-hmm. But look at yourself in the mirror. And I love, it's come on, you know, where this little girl is in the mirror and says, I am beautiful. And I am, you know, all positive stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what we should do every morning. Talk to ourselves in the mirror and say,
And the way God made it. I mean, you look in the scriptures, God speaks so highly of his creation.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't bash us, you know, and that's why I tell women, when you're in the shower, when you're in your bath, when you're by yourself, caress yourself, tell yourself, I am created for God's pleasure. I'm special. If one hair falls out, my Lord and Savior knows it. So begin to affirm what the word of God says that you are. I mean, because the world is not going to do it.
No.
The world doesn't like us, because we're created in the image of God.
And if you don't like yourself, look yourself in the mirror and say, you are a creation from God. And the more you say positive things to yourself, the more you're going to believe it, because believe it.
And because
God loves you.
Yeah, and before you know it, your body doesn't hurt anymore. You wonder, oh, my gosh, the headache has gone away. You know?
Yeah.
I don't hurt anymore. I can actually dance.
Some people wonder, how is it that their children come out with issues? Well, you're in the shower telling yourself that you're crap, and then you walk out of the shower, and you're supposed to tell your little girl she's precious and beautiful and wonderful. But she came from you. So how can you not look at yourself? It's going to translate, is what I'm trying to say. It's going to translate. So everything that you do has a drastic effect on our relationship with others.
Y como dicen las mujeres, que somos real sacerdotes. Somos real sacerdotes.
We're live, of course, every Thursday.
Yes.
But if you have questions today, we're going to try and pay special attention to our tickers here. To like Judy. Hi, Judy. She's saying, tell us and have a wonderful day. We hope that you have the same as well. Now, we do talk about doTERRA, because that's what we do.
Yes.
In conjunction with these things, when you're worrying about your figure, I mean, we've got a whole line of slim and sassy products.
Yes.
You know, when you're concerned about your energy, we've got our lifelong vitality. We have adaptive. There's Motivate and Cheer, which are blends that work very well for giving you energy to keep you on the positive side of things.
Yeah, and remember that all the oils work with your emotions.
Yes.
So when you hear a blend like Motivate, you know, you start your morning and you put some Motivate on there, and you put some Cheer, and you become cheerful.
I mean, and when we're concerning with things like, because we're talking about our bodies, we're concerned about aging. Women in particular it's our society is, as a woman age, she is devalued. She loses her value as she ages physically. That's our society, though. That is, and I'm not saying, I think it's wrong.
Absolutely.
What they say is that as you get older as a female, physically you lose your value. But as you, the only value you have is your wisdom, or look at how graceful she is. Oh,
she is
graceful. basically, because she's keeping her square in use, like, you know.
That means.
So we have products for that.
Right.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
The truth of the matter, and as men on the counter side of the flip side, as a man gets older, I mean, how many looked at Sean Connery and thought, oh, my goodness, he looks very or Pierce Brosnan. I mean, it is true. But the deal is, women look just as distinguished and just as graceful.
Yes.
And their bodies still have value, and their bodies still function for the same purposes as they did when they were younger, if you catch my drift.
Yes.
So when you were younger and you did stuff, you can still do that stuff when you're older.
Just a little slower. I mean, I look at your dad right now, and I think he's so handsome. You know, and I have the pictures when he was in his 20s, and now that he's in, like, his late 60s.
She's got it bad, y'all.
Wow, man, this man still looks good. I mean, I watch him in the morning getting ready and stuff, and I go, he still looks good.
I am always grateful for the live action movie that the Lord has given me and my husband when he gets ready. That's what I call it, a live action movie.
That's good.
You sit there and watch it all happen in real time.
And you know, a lot of women like to watch men shave.
Yes.
And it's good. But that's a relationship that you need to have and keep it.
And you can't have that relationship if you're complaining.
Exactly. If you're complaining,
because men absolutely
hate it.
And you know, I was looking at, in the process of doing this stuff here, I can't lean too much because I'll get out of frame, but I was looking at the research, and I was reading from men's point of view what they think about this stuff, and one of the guys, what he said really hit me. He said, look, just like you guys sit there and you cry about something and you're upset and you scream about it, it's acceptable for you to do that in public. He said, I gotta go do that in private. He said, so while you're complaining about it, don't you know where I just came from, you know? Or that while I was in the shower, I wasn't like, oh, my God, how am I going to pay this? How am I going to, all this stuff is on my shoulder.
The pressure. Yeah.
And, you know, they have the same issues that we do. And that's why we will have a What Men Want Part 1 at some point.
Part 2. Part 1.
Part 2. Part 10.
But
going into women, when you look at aging, there have been wonderful studies about how things like macular degeneration can be affected positively by using BDR Prime, Intune, Immortelle, specifically Immortelle for macular degeneration, along with frankincense, helichrysum, and cypress. Macular degeneration is something that affects everybody, young and old. And so we have things that are available that are researched. You know, just scientific research to back this stuff up.
And just to go back a little bit on the skincare.
Yes, definitely.
Our skincare, the Virage skincare, the Immortelle. I mean, I've never done too much to my skin. And, you know, but ever since I've been using the Virage and the skincare that's from Bergera, you know, I went to do a facial.
Yes.
And the lady says, oh, your skin is so, I don't remember what you
said. It has a lot of moisture.
Yeah, exactly.
Dry.
That's what she said. And I didn't do anything except use the brush, and it's just because of the oil, frankincense, and all kinds of oil.
Yeah, the light that they use, don't lie, because I used to do that.
Exactly.
I had a machine that you could, and boy.
So. And the dermatologist office still use those lights to check and see what your cancer damage for the first, second, and third layers. And if you look, a lot of these Hollywood starlets have been using serums. For decades.
Yes.
Okay. They did a documentary on Marilyn Monroe, and one of her big deals was 4 serums every morning. She had 4 different serums that she put on.
Let me tell you, I use the Yarrow Palm serum every morning.
They have been using it for decades.
Yes.
And we're just now using them. And it's a really good foundation for your makeup to have the serum there, because the makeup applies smoother. then.
And it's not just for women. Men can use it.
Use it as a garage.
Yeah, that's for sure.
If I don't know where it is, it's because he took it and put it in the house. And he's using it. So I wanted to talk about mental clarity. That's a part of our body that we don't talk about a lot because there's a lot of stigma involved in it.
Okay.
If you're somebody that finds that you're depressed, nobody wants to talk about that. Well, we don't want to talk about your depression. But it's important that you do because you need to know, are you in a depressive moment in your life? Or do you have a depressive state of mind?
Right.
Those
right.
are very different.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a depressive state of mind, you go get what you need to get, be it homeopathic, be it pharmaceutical, whatever you need to do. You do what you got to do.
Get out of that.
Because I don't want anybody postal.
No.
So you do what you got to do. But all kidding aside, do what you got to do. But if it's a depressed moment, a depressive moment in your life, you're having a hard time with things, you can't make sense of things, you have to understand that those moments will pass. And in moments like that, you don't want to get a permanent thing for a temporary situation.
Exactly.
So it's better to err on the side and start homeopathic.
Yeah.
Step one, step two, step three. I remember when Dad was teaching me about how to fix a car. He would always say, start with the least expensive thing. Start with the smallest thing and then work your way. And if you find that at the end, I gotta get a new car, you get a new car, you know? But why would you get a new car if all you needed was a door handle?
Right.
That's such a great point.
Yeah.
That's why we always tell people, you need the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So when you come to us, you will know that we will tell you, you need the lifelong vitality. Because this is the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can add on to that. Like right now, we are doing a study that just came out with our lifelong vitality connected with our adaptive.
Yeah.
And I'm telling
the
you.
The adaptive pills.
The pills.
Mm-hmm.
When
yeah.
you take those in conjunction with this,
mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, I've been on it now for 4 days, that regimen.
Mm-hmm.
It has made my life. And you got to understand, I have to take a thyroid pill every morning to get myself going in the morning. And because I don't have a thyroid, I had cancer 30 something years ago and it had to be removed. Would I recommend that today? I don't think so because of what I've learned in the process. But then again,
keep your parathyroid if you
yeah, I tell people we got to start with a firm foundation, like the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus is our foundation. So, you know, we start with the lifelong vitality, and we are now incorporating one adaptive pill.
Yeah.
I cannot tell you, Jack can attest to it, the amount of peace, energy, tranquility. I don't know how to explain it. I just know.
I can attest to the chatty Kathy
yeah.
part of it. My goodness. You're chatty. Normally at night, she's kind of like, all right, let me get you off the phone because
I
got stuff
sleep.
To do. There's a mystery movie on TV and I got to go.
Well, that, you
but
know,
it's,
the,
just
it,
not
it, it's so amazing
stuff.
You said that because I'm reading more at night. I'm reading this amazing book by Suzanne Somers called Knockout. For those of you that want to know about alternative medicine by doctors, real, legitimate
mm-hmm.
doctors, that's the book. That book is amazing. It's called Knockout. But I'm reading more. I'm attaining more. I'm like, whoa, I'm doing things that before I'd be like, nah, let me just sit in
yeah.
my little house on the prairie for about 3 hours. No, I see one. Even my son noticed yesterday. Mom, you ain't watching what happened? I'm like, no, son, I'm busy just in 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't imagine what it's going to do by the time I look back
right.
in 30 days from now.
Hey, it's going to feel better.
Yeah.
It's just feel better
just,
because it's a base. And that's
yeah.
why right now in these times of COVID, if you get COVID, because our immune systems are so strong because we're taking this.
Mm-hmm.
We're taking this and now we're adding the adaptive. I mean, you feel the difference. And if you get sick, it goes by fast. You don't get as sick. You know, you just, it
mm-hmm.
runs through. Yeah.
And we've got, on this adaptive, we've got, I mean, our LLB, we have 100% zinc, 333% of vitamin C, and 200% of vitamin D, which we need that. You know, I was reading that as we get older, less people, the older you get, the more you stay inside.
Yeah.
So what depletes? Your
vitamin D.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You hurt?
Osteoporosis, brittle bone syndrome.
You know, yeah. As you get into your 50s, your 60s, your 70s, if you are not taking care, you're not going to make it. And if you do make it, you got like 6, 7, 8, 9 pills, pharmaceutical stuff to take. You know, I want to live.
The deal is, you take what you need to take. Take what you need to take. But don't take more than you need to take.
Exactly.
Because your body is not going to process it. Just like those that's got 200% of vitamin D. Look, I have people tell me, well, that's just too much. No, your body will take what it needs.
That's
to,
right.
You'll pee
it's
out
it's
the rest.
Amazing. Yes. Those amounts have been certified by professionals. I mean,
your body will take what it needs.
Yes.
And it'll,
like,
I mean, our bodies are really
else.
Amazing.
And again, everybody's different, so our bodies will take what it needs because all of these products come from the earth.
Well,
right?
You know,
that's what doTERRA means.
And it shows, research shows that our bodies are not the same every single day. We're not static. And so someday you might need that 200% of vitamin D.
Yeah.
Because you might be seriously deficient. Somebody like me that doesn't have the thyroid, I've got the parathyroid because I had a good ENT that told me you need that for your vitamin D. If you don't have that as a female, you open yourself up to breast cancer, you open yourself up to metastatic, you open yourself up to brittle bones. And he said, so let's keep those. And if we have to take them, we will later on, but let's keep them now. And because of that, when I take my LLV, my body processes it.
And it has 100% of the zinc that we need right now.
Right. And that's really, really, that's something that you should be taking anyway. You should be taking it anyway.
Right.
I mean, it's not something that is going to hurt you is what I'm trying to say.
And if you go to the store and buy everything that has, you're going to buy $900 worth of product.
Yes.
Which it's like
that's
a great given.
It's crazy.
So we're going to come right back here because that train went somewhere else.
it's got the trail.
So mental clarity is adaptive, peppermint, rosemary, in tune again, and frankincense. That's mental clarity and alertness. Those all go together because every single day, every single one of us goes through what they call the afternoon slump. Now, it may not be in the afternoon. Your slump may not be in the afternoon. My cycle is that I stay up late and go to sleep very late in the morning. So when most people are getting up, I'm going to sleep 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning. And so my afternoon slump could be 10 o'clock at night,
right?
You know, and that is the moment. If you'll journal and analyze, which is a great way to analyze, by the way, is to journal your day. When you find that you're feeling that slump, you'll find you're complaining the most.
Mm.
You'll find that you are at your tool. You can't find your tool bag for life. And you need the hammer, and doggone it, you got a screw. And that's just, you know, and we'll get there later on because you do need a screw. But people that are married,
they're old school guys.
I mean, I'm the one that says these things. And I say them because they're necessary. These are natural things that we need to start normalizing, especially for people that are married or in committed monogamous relationships where you know where your partner's been. These particular ones help you regain focus, performing tedious tasks. You know, as a stay-at-home mom or as a stay-at-home female, you do a lot of tedious tasks. Same thing. I mean, I think I have washed the same plate like 5 times in a row. It's the same plate.
I don't do that.
Okay. Is it spot,
no, because I wash it, I put it up, and then it gets used right away. So I'm I've seen you before, haven't I?
Yes.
Yes. And so that is also part of that afternoon slump. We have to be creative. God was creative in making us. Look at all the differences just here in 3 women. And, you know, we need creativity in our lives. We really, really do. And so that's also a part of that slump we're trying to, you know, get away. There will be many chapters in your life. Don't get stuck on the chapter that you're in right now. If your path isn't one that you like, you can always choose another path. As long as you're breathing, you have the option to do something different or to add to the richness that your life already has. This is my own quote. A passionate woman is worth the chaos for the moment because it's not really chaos. It's an ordered destruction of mediocrity.
That's what it is.
What we think sometimes is chaos in our life is really God ordering our mediocrity out of our life and saying, I created you for more than this.
Yes.
You know?
Oh my gosh.
I love that. I love that.
That's
I
where that
play that in my head.
In yes. Ephesians, where it says, He created you for good works that He already predestined.
Wow.
So for you to sit and be mediocre, it's wait a minute. He's saying, no, let's cause some movement here because you're sitting watching all of this, and I got good works for you to do.
Oh my gosh, I was watching Little House on the Prairie the other day,
and you know, side note. And I was just thinking, I was watching Charles just Ingalls. I just call him Charles. So I'm watching Charles do all his stuff, and Mary, and everybody else. And Laura, and then I thought, you know, they would be disgusted with our lives right now. They would be like, excuse me, I built a house while you were sleeping. You know, like, what are you doing? So, and at that moment, I was like, okay, I'm getting up every single commercial break, and I'm doing something.
Yes, well, it's because they didn't have all the distractions that we have now.
And they were creative. And
you know what? I was thinking about that the other day. If something goes wrong, I don't know, with the house or something, you know, when I was little, I would fix it or do something about it. My kids don't know what to do with it. They would just throw it away and get another one.
Yeah.
You know, I would probably fix it.
Yeah, right.
But my kids don't because it's a different generation that is a throwaway generation.
I'll tell you, Tim and I are
the best generation.
Tim and I are 6 years apart. We are within the same generation.
Yes.
However, there are some very big differences.
Yes.
Because I would fix it.
Yeah, you get creative.
You'll find it. Because I think, well, you know what? I don't want to waste the money. Let me try first.
Yeah.
You know, let me and be creative, get those juices flowing. And Tim's like, let's go to the store. Or let's buy a new one. And I'm like, let's buy a used one. There's slight differences there. And so, I mean, if I see it within 6 years, I can imagine the difference between you and your kids. You see a very big difference.
Yeah, because when we were little, I mean, we really got creative on doing stuff, you know, and stuff that right now is just like, whatever, you know.
Yeah,
like,
it's very popular to not be creative and then to sit and complain about it. Stop.
We did get some Bible verses about complaining and not complaining and what the Bible says about it. And the first one we have is Philippians 2:14, which it says, do all things without murmuring and disputing.
That's right. Don't argue about it.
You know, and just an aside note, I looked up the word, the Greek word
She looked it up.
What it means is you're discontent with your lot in life. And they're very much as the complainer and the grumbler.
They're
very much the same. And you know, to be honest with you guys, complaining is not a fruit of the spirit.
No.
I know some people think
no.
it is, but it's not. Actually, complaining
it's
is a detriment to your fruit of the spirit. For you to have, because you cannot be complaining and then want peace and joy and love. It's counterintuitive.
It's not what you're putting out in the world. Why would you expect it back?
Right. So for Christians, complaining is destructive. It's debilitating personally.
Mm-hmm.
And it only serves to make our witness to the world difficult. One thing that I have learned as a believer is you may think that nobody's watching you. But not only is God watching you, other people are watching you, and the angels of the Lord, which you are supposed to one day judge, are watching you also. So you do have an audience that is watching you. So when you think that you're doing things in secret, or you think you're doing things that no one knows, guess what? Everybody, especially if they're believers, praying. Because the Word of God says that what you do in the dark comes out in the light.
Amen.
Let me tell you, I've got a very close friend, and she, you know who you are. But she, for years, we've had a very long relationship, a little under half my life, actually. And she, for years, would not let me associate with other people, or she would preface me like, okay, Leah, don't judge them now, because I was a Christian, you know, and she really wasn't practicing at that time. She is now, thank goodness, but she wasn't at the time, and it was always something that was like this wedge in between us, because she was watching me closely, and she knew I just wouldn't gel with some people, but I never was the kind of person, and I haven't been, that I'll walk up to you and be like, you know what, you're just, I'm not that kind of person.
I mean, the Bible says if you're not going to say something good, don't say anything at all.
And that's the thing, is that a lot of people that do watch Christians, they don't know their Bible because they're not Christians. So they don't know that Philippians 4:8, which is Becky's favorite verse, tells you, look, if it's not lovely, if it's not pure, holy, you know, you're supposed to think on these things. But they don't know the scriptures to understand that we are tempered by the scriptures. We're tempered by each other. We're supposed to be as Christians. And so,
and it's,
you know,
they're looking at your testimony.
And, you know, just in that sense, you know, the time when you do see a brother missing the mark, which is another way to say it, your responsibility is to go and do that. But you do it in love. There's a process. You do it in love. And you always have to remember this. And I'm very much into counseling and so forth. And God has always shown me, there, Dallas, by the grace of God. So before you go to present to that woman what a lifestyle that is not right and what is right, understand that you must do it in a posture of love.
Yeah.
And you must do it in a posture of knowing that there, by God's grace, go.
You need to pray ahead of time that the Lord really wants you to say anything to them to begin with. Because
he may just have you praying and fasting.
Yeah, he may have you notice it, to pray, to fast. Not be careful when you intercede, because you remember you put yourself in their place. But it should be something that if you do talk to them, you don't go up on a stage with a microphone and blare out their rap for everybody else. You don't do that.
It's very sad to have, especially the people of God, instead of lifting up somebody just to drag them to the floor.
Yeah, and you know, that doesn't mean you don't correct.
Exactly.
But you do it in a way that it's in love.
Right.
You do it in understanding how would I want it to be said to me.
Yes. And everybody's different, and you have to be careful.
But you can't be complacent either.
Amen.
And that's where sometimes I really say, you know, Lord, okay, so I'm going to
say where you should be in prayer.
Yeah, because
you can't. And that's where, you know how you... We're talking about lovingly helping or steering another Christian. You should do that for yourself. You should do that and not complain about yourself. And when you find yourself complaining, you should be able to steer your own boat. You know, God gave you the ability to do that.
And you know, something else is like, we've been friends since this one is 5 years old, you know? And when Dallas tells me something and she corrects me, you know, throughout our lives, you know, it's having that ear to hear that even if I don't like what she's telling me, I need to pray and know that she loves me and she's saying it so I can be corrected, because I need to be corrected, you know? And if it's coming from a friend, it's coming from a friend that I know that loves me. So it's like, okay, Lord.
That's where iron sharpens iron.
Amen.
And you know, I will tell you this, that with women that are in my life that I love dearly, and I consider them my sisters. I have one other sibling, and we're 7 years apart, and we are we are worlds apart. We always have been, but I mean, I love you both, but we're worlds apart. And so there are women that I've met in my life. They become my friends, but they're my family. And like I have explained recently, I'll go to the ends of the earth for you. I would. I mean it. But you have to come to me. I don't know that you're complaining about yourself. I don't know that you feel like crap. I don't know what's going on. But if you want to talk to me, I'll listen.
Right?
All day, all night, I'll listen to you as long as it's constructive. You know, and as long as you're ready to make have her have an ear that's hearing. You may not be able to make the changes right away, but you can hear.
Well, and this is
we should be there for one.
And this Ephesians Ephesians 5:29 is right up the alley here. I love it. Yes, Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to be used of edifying, that
right.
it may minister grace unto the hearers. And there's two things here. I mean, what comes out of your mouth to edify, and who's hearing?
Right.
You know, because
that's
you can tell somebody something that is going to edify them, but are they hearing them?
Right.
You know. So that's
why
we need to, we always need to be that with the mindset that I'm here to learn every day.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have for me, Lord, today? And take it from whoever is giving you a word of edification.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing I have to stress, because we're studying the book of James, and, you know, our God is a God of order.
Yes. Amen.
You know, and there are things that, you know, one of the things, while it's not... it's okay to go to God and complain. He already knows your thoughts even before you have them, because that's the sovereignty of God. One thing you cannot do, which is wrong, is to complain about God. Because, you know, like I told someone very precious to me.
Oh, dude, that's pretty scary.
Yeah. The wrong thing to do is to complain about God, because you know what?
God.
He is the potter.
And
you are the clay.
And
know your, you know, and I'm going to quote a great man that I heard this weekend. Don't get it twisted.
Oh, God.
God is in control.
Amen.
And God holds your very next breath. So for you to think that you can complain about God, you're out of order.
Yeah.
Now, you can complain to God about your situation, other people's situations, but don't think that you have the right to complain about God. And, you know, He knows everything. So there is an order.
Yeah, don't complain that God made you a coffee mug. Be happy that you got something that can be filled, okay?
And He created you for those good works, whatever they are.
You know, and that's kind of the theme with everything that we're going through with the wellness show, is that you have to have respect for one another. You have to have respect for your relationship with God. And that's what you're talking about, is having that respect. You're coming to Him like a father, like a child to a father, and not your contemporary, not your friend, not your buddy or anything else.
Don't complain about that.
No.
Now we're going to steer this ship back again.
Yes.
We're going to talk about relationships. That is another big complaint. Look, we're running out of time here. We got 17 minutes.
Just stop complaining. And it's sorry.
We're still talking about
the venting is okay.
Yes, she wants to say her little part.
Venting is okay as long as the venting does not take you into a sinful form.
Amen. Yes.
And that
Amen.
Means foul language, hateful speech, physical harm. Like, I'll let you vent, but I will not. Like, I go to
you
that.
You shouldn't disrespect.
Yeah, you don't
another.
Disrespect.
And you need to know your audience.
Yes.
If I'm speaking to my dad, I'm not going to use every expletive that I know.
And even if you aren't speaking to your dad, it can be a healthy way to calm ourselves so that we don't regain control. So it gives us time to gain
control
of your emotions. But when we start with the bad language and hateful speech,
I
tune you off.
Being in,
exactly, you just don't hear anymore.
Coming from a law enforcement background, you hear a lot of stuff. So I would expect from that environment that I would expect that it would pop out, and it doesn't bother me as much. But if I'm going to be somewhere else, you need to know where you're at, and you should be adult enough to be able to curtail your language. And the more you do it, the more you'll self-correct. The more that you watch your language, the more it will correct it.
I'm just being biblical here, and it says in the Word of God.
It's our first online disagreement.
Don't use foul language.
What I'm saying is, let me clarify. What I'm saying is, for some, that's a thorn in their side. And that's a different thing. If it's a thorn in your side, you should be prayerful about it and ask the Lord to take it away from you, because it is a hindrance. And ask also the Lord to help you understand what environment you're in. So you can be conscious of that. There are some people that have no idea. They think every place is the same place.
Well, you know, and,
you know,
and we're not. Again, and it says here, you know, venting, vent with people, with trusted people who understand that's where you're coming from,
mm-hmm.
who are only venting and won't hold us responsible for everything you
right.
said in those heated moments.
Right, right.
So you have to, like you said, you're
yeah.
saying, know your audience.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You know, you don't go in and you have to, it's not really
disagree.
Right.
We're agreeing.
We're agreeing to disagree, but we agree.
We're agreeing.
We're agreeing.
We're actually agreeing. So okay. coming back to this.
Okay.
We're going to talk about the second part of it that people complain about. Women complain about, not people, women. Women, especially women. Relationships.
Yes.
Now we're going to talk about the intimate portion of relationships. For the purposes of this show, we'll focus on committed married relationships. I need to make that clear from the very beginning. Now, I have friends that are not married and are not in committed relationships. This is information that, of course, you can take and assimilate and put that in your brain, but it may not apply to your actual individual relationship. But for the purposes of this, we focus on committed married relationships. Women have two major complaints about men. The first complaint is, he's never there for me. The second complaint is, there isn't enough intimacy and connection. Women can feel alone even when they're in a relationship. You know that crowded room feeling that you can be in a crowded room and
yeah.
you're
alone by yourself.
In many ways, these are related complaints. These women can't trust their men to be there for them when they need them. That's what this is, a trust issue.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't develop that relationship of trust with the Lord first, it's very hard for you to trust anyone else. So you need to set that foundation. Just like you need to be taking your LLB.
Right. And adapt it together.
Yeah. Most of the time, this is about being there for them emotionally, listening to them, caring for them, safeguarding their hearts, which is a big deal with women's stability, while men have two major complaints about women. Too much fighting, and there's not enough sex. Now, that's, I mean, does that sound familiar? In other, I have counseled women that this is an issue for them. But it's an issue for them. And they don't understand that men are hardwired differently than us. And we want that physical love, touch, squeeze. And they want to touch and squeeze you and then some because that's connected. See what I'm saying? It's connected. These men are also lonely, even when they're in a relationship. You got to understand that. We find that men actually want intimacy just as much as women, but they feel that there's intimacy there when there's less fighting and more sex. Those equate intimacy to them. So we've got to keep reiterating that fact.
Okay.
These separate complaints from men and women are, in fact, causally related and can be addressed through a simple skill we like to call attunement. Attunement, so let me give you a definition of that. It's a kinesthetic and emotional, which means a physical and emotional sensing of others, knowing their rhythm, the effect and experience by metaphorically being in their skin. In other words, feeling what they feel, being empathetic, which is one of the things that women are very good at.
Yes.
And going beyond empathy to create a two-person experience, unbroken feeling of connectedness between by providing a reciprocal effect or resonating response. What that means is I feel for you and I understand where you're coming from. I'm going to try. And I want to create a relationship where when I reach for you, you reach for me. You see? And that bond is there, you know, between the men and the women. When men attune to their women, there's less fighting.
Yeah.
There's more frequent and better sex. And both men and women no longer feel so alone. It's also the skill that leads to genuine emotional connection, which in turn leads to trust, which in turn leads to you giving the woman the number one thing that they need and want. In other words, it's a big deal, okay? That's why do you think we came from the rib, man?
Yeah.
Come on. This is some research that was done. They asked men and women whether or not they felt that they could talk to their partners, especially when they felt sad or angry or in need of affection, and they discovered a fundamental fact. That the fights of many couples result from men dismissing women's
right.
emotions
yes.
instead of attuning to them,
yes.
instead of trying to feel for them. And You dismiss a woman's emotions every time you try to fix them, distract her from her emotions,
that's right,
minimize her emotions, mock them, or ignore them altogether. When you are sitting there and you are telling your partner that they're crazy, that they can't keep themselves together, they can't keep themselves even chill, you are dismissing them, you're mocking them, you're minimizing them, and you're less of a man for it.
That's right.
I want you to know that. You're less
and
of a man for that. Don't do
complain.
That.
Right.
And then they complain and they internalize it.
Right. And with that note, that right there.
Well, she's
comes
like,
from,
I got it.
There's a book called, I said, you know, guys, I want to get this book.
She's
it's called lovely. The Man's Guide to Women. It's a must-read. Guys, you want to know about women? This doctor, Dr. Gottman.
Yeah,
Gutman. He's the one that
she went and she took my research and she looked at it. Good job.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Love Lab. Okay. I mean, this guy is the real deal.
Yeah.
Man, you want to know about it?
Say the book again?
The Man's Guide to Women.
Yes, it'll be online as well.
Yes.
It's a really good book, actually, and it's written for men about women.
About women.
And it's by another man. Now,
if you
think
women is complicated, they can uncomplicate things.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, why not?
Right.
And you should
that's
always
right.
be learning, male or female.
That's right. That's
learn the relatively simple and fundamental skill of attunement, you know, empathizing with one another. And your relationship with women will change profoundly.
Yes.
It also will serve you well at work, in parenting, and in all of your relationships. Men who learned emotional attunement got what they ultimately wanted from their relationship. Less fighting and more sex. You know?
Learn, guys.
I mean,
learn.
Yeah. Guys, this is what you want. And what the research that I was looking at was showing that... I'm sorry. What? Everything's going good, yeah.
No caller.
Okay. Whole time. There we go. Sorry, guys. We had a little... the research was showing that men want sex and frequent sex, but it doesn't necessarily have to be with a different partner. And a lot of women feel, well, maybe he needs to hire me, he needs another woman, I need to be another woman. And so what they do is they stretch themselves out, trying to be, you know, a Miss Kitty when everybody knows you're a Betty Boop. Like, just stop. They want, that's how men connect. And ultimately, that's how you'll connect.
And you know, you just reminded me of something really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
If women or men that are very jealous,
mm-hmm.
will turn down the partner, your partner. And then if you're jealous and you keep telling your husband, you know, or whatever, that where did you come from? Where were you? Where were you? Where were you?
Oh, yeah,
or this
yeah.
or that or you have that sense of
an insecurity.
Insecurity. It will actually draw the men to look for something that he wasn't even looking for.
Like you're giving them an idea, and
uh-huh.
they're not really deep. They're not deep thinkers like that.
So you need to be careful on those jealous moments because that's not deep
not
thinkers either.
Men are not deep thinkers like that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, let me go find.
See?
No, you give them the idea when you're like, well, were you here?
Yeah.
Well, they didn't even know that there was a strip club on Davis, but since you're telling them that it's there, they're going to go.
Exactly.
I mean, that's kind of how,
yeah,
I mean,
how that works.
Saying.
Yeah.
And it's very, very important to know that when you're, what women really want is trust, stability. We want love and affection, and we want to be affirmed. We want our husbands to say, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
I love you so much. But in order to get that, you got to stop complaining about yourself so that you feel like junk. And then you turn around and infect everybody else with it. Because if you are feeling bad and complaining about yourself, there's no way that you can look at your husband and go, I love you so much. You're just so wonderful. You're this, that, and the other. You're already tuned to see the negative. So that's what you're going to respond with, is that negative. You know, we're talking about not being, don't infect yourself and then don't spread it to everybody else.
Right.
Relationships in general.
I love that quote.
That's what I hear.
Yeah.
The woman I was yesterday introduced me to the woman I am today, which makes me very excited about meeting the woman I'll become tomorrow.
That's right.
And that was an anonymous book.
Right.
And we want to talk about, here what the Bible says about who we are, which is what we've done as His children. And we want to offer some habit changing tips. One of the tips that I have is monitoring your negative self-talk.
Yeah.
Your self-talk needs to be pretty positive.
And listen to yourself. Yeah. Listen to what you're saying and say, wait a minute, is this positive or is this totally out of context and negative?
Now, there was, I sing in a women's chorus, barbershop, and Lone Star Chorus. And so
she's good.
We have this thing a while ago that we did where we all stood in a circle and we sang a song, a little ditty that reminded us who we were, who we belonged to, and how important we were to one another. And we looked at each other, and one by one, the women came in your face and told you what you were to them.
Oh,
that still has an impact on them. You know, we wrote cards to one another, and we put in there so that on our bad days, we could pull out those cards. If you don't have those relationships with other women, I challenge you to find them. You know, look for your local chapter. But I also challenge you that in the meantime, do it for yourself. You know, write those good things down. You're having a great day, and you're like, I kick butt today. Write it down, stick it in a folder, and let that be where you go when you feel bad.
And analyze why you had a good day that day.
Definitely.
You were diffusing, motivate.
Or
elevation is my favorite now at home. I mean, I love it. I mean, you know, it saves you change.
And
you know,
repeat.
And it's like if you're thinking of somebody, you know, a quick text message. That happened to us last week. I mean, we got a text message that just was awesome before the show. So if you're thinking of somebody, you know, you don't know what they're going through. Maybe the God put them in your mind.
Yes.
So just send them a quick text message, you know?
Definitely, because, you know, you're not going to be down on the same day, at the same time, in the same moment. So help each other out.
And, you know, I just want to take a quick note with the adaptive, just reading here, the fact that if you're lacking motivation and mental fatigue, I guess that's what it did for me. Like, I feel like I have, mental clarity with stuff. I have things I want to do, I want to accomplish.
Kind of like, oh, I could do this.
Yeah.
Oh, I need to do this.
Right.
Okay, I'll go do
so,
this.
I don't know, but for the last 3 days that I've been, 4 days now, I have seen the difference. We are doing sampling. So please,
let us know.
Those that are wanting to not, they don't want to buy anything right now. They just want to, we got samples for you with the adaptive. Please call us, text us, private message us, and because we want you to have the experience. We're here to help with your situation.
Yeah.
We want to be able to touch lives, not only with our show, but in life too.
And
know,
it's a reminder for us as well, because we are by no means perfect.
No.
That's why we're able to do these shows, is because we're like, oh, I think I have a problem with that too. So, you know, coming to us and explaining, we're a safe place. I think we're a safe place. And you can say what you need to say, and it'll be confidential. We don't go around telling everybody whatever.
That's why I love that quote. You want to, like, talk about that quote?
Well, it's about that time, guys. This is one of the last quotes here that I thought was great. Complaining about a problem without posing a solution is called whining. That's what it is. And Teddy Roosevelt said that.
Mm-hmm.
And Roosevelt was one of the great presidents that he found a solution. And when I talk to people, they're like, why? I don't want to. Why are you talking to me about a solution? Because otherwise it's whining.
Right. Yes.
And I don't really have a lot of room for that. Because
I don't have time.
I got my own stuff. I need to make sure that
we've got the solution. We have the solution
in many ways.
In many ways. In many ways.
We definitely do.
No.
All right, Giggle Bombs. Let's go ahead and pray us out.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for waking us all up this morning to hear this message, Father God. We thank you, Father, for our obedience unto you, Lord. Bless those that are going to hear this message, those that were hearing the message, Father God, and we ask in the name of Jesus that you would heal not only physically but emotionally and spiritually, Father God. Draw those that are yours unto yourself. Let them know, Father, that you love them, and they can come to you with their hearts, knowing, Father, that you have the solution through your word and the people that you put in our path, Father God. We thank you and praise you that we were created to glorify you and enjoy you all the days of our lives till we see you face to face. And we thank you and praise you for this opportunity that we don't take lightly, Father God. And Father, I thank you and praise you for your gracious Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who paid for us to be here today and continue, Father. So we give you glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Guys, go conquer the day.
Amen.
It's there for us.